Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, please provide for us and give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. What a prayer. We remember how God is rich in mercy and of great love, which He loved us. And now He loves us even though we trespass. We have errors and mistakes. It reminds me of the grace that God has saved us with, like Ephesians 2:4 talks about. Well, there is the wisdom of God, and it is amazing when we search out our understanding, God's understanding that is described in Bible. And there are great thinkers that also have examination of God and His Word, the Bible. Well, many times we think of circumstances that exist in life, and there has been a time when we all question how we can do things better, and we learn from the examples in the Bible of how we can do things better. Very often that means waiting upon the Lord. It's kind of hard to wait sometimes, and we think we know better. We think we can make the best decision, and we do instead of waiting for an understanding which we can get from God. As I look back on life, I know there have been times I wish I had waited, but we make decisions and things happen. And I just urge everybody to wait on the Lord with prayer and sometime with prayer and fasting. There are times when we do have to take more thought and consider the circumstances before we act in a godly and biblical way. Well, in the world, there is a large variety of everything going on. We have concerns, we have emotions, and we watch the power struggles going on between good and evil, between powers and principalities, and how the good and the evil expresses itself, and the order becomes disorderly or chaotic. And that's what we see in the world. We recognize there is sin around us, and we realize that that is departing from God. Well, today we watch the cycles play out all over the world and in history also. Cycles have been a study for years, and I think of the academic people who have studied the Teitler cycle. Now, Alexander Teitler, was a Scottish professor in the mid-1700s, and he observed that democracies generally last 200 to 250 years. And that is about as long as America has existed as a democratic republic. So there are people who will use the example of the Teitler cycle and say, we are about over as a country. Well, it might be true, might not be, but we still... That Teitler cycle, it talks about the progression of any society, any democracy, starting out in bondage and moving to spiritual faith, and then to courage, and then liberty, then abundance, and selfishness, and apathy, and dependence, and then back to bondage. See, that is the cycle that he observed over thousands of years. And So there are people who question what is going on today as they see the deterioration going on in our world and in our country, and what is next? We all wonder that. And we see America getting closer and closer to the state of collapse, which is reminiscent of that Tytler cycle about what has happened in America and what will happen. Well, we have our understanding that we are searching for as we desire to live by our principles, our faith, our Christian faith. And we see the values that are deteriorating all over society. We see the practical aspects of life and government deteriorating. Even the money is deteriorating. It is actually falling apart. And we know that the world is not happy with America either. It just happened that there were 10 countries in Southeast Asia. Oh, that's what it was called, the Southeast Asia Association. And it includes Taiwan and Philippines. And because it's obvious that the United States and the dollar is deteriorating, these group of countries have decided to transact in other currencies beside the American dollar for cross-border transactions. And it's an example of how America is deteriorating, right along with its money system, right along with its society, and the power structure within America. We are moving towards a huge change as the dollar system is degraded and the new BRICS system is getting stronger. BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But there have been other countries that have joined the association also. Oh, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. They are all now members of the BRICS nations. And they are using the structure largely from the Bank of Russia, but there's also the Bank of China that are supporting this new BRICS structure. These countries are all buying vast amounts of gold, I mean from hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds of gold to tons of gold, like China has been doing. And this is one of the things that is propelling the price of gold to rise. And silver is also increasing because it is a precious metal. Americans have noticed the rise in precious metals also, and some people want to buy the gold and the silver before the price increases any further than where it is now at roughly $2,400 an ounce. Well, there's a great big concern about all the borrowing that is going on in the world. Yes, America has been issued warnings by the United Nations International Monetary Fund, but it has been recognized for a long time that America is borrowing too much money to continue on a normal course. So there is that great concern from around the world and a concern that countries, businesses, and people ought to have assets in more things than their currency or more than in dollars. And that is part of why there is the rush to buy gold. Ounces of gold for people, pounds of gold for governments or for the big governments tons of gold. And there is a change that is getting ready to happen now when we see the struggle between countries and the movement that is against America. And there is in America a group of people that seems to want the collapse. I mean, they don't say they want a collapse, but they act as though they want a collapse. As borrowing continues to increase and improper or foolish spending also continues to increase. The United States government just does not seem to be able to hold back its spending, and this is endangering the stability of the U.S. dollar. The United States policy around the world is also causing governments and people to dislike the United States and its dollar. So we have economic warnings on many levels and from many economic people. It is a great consideration that the United States of America might not survive. It might not continue as the United States of America. And lately there have been a lot of Christian people that have what is considered to be a prophetic voice, and they have had dreams and visions of a collapse of the U.S. dollar and the U.S. itself. This was Dana Coverstone who had a dream about 2019, and he is a Kentucky pastor. He certainly did a lot of asking God to make that dream valid if it was in fact from God. And he did get validation. So he became popular a few years ago, as have other different Christians with what they consider to be a word from God. Well, the part about the Dana Coverstone and his 2020 dream or vision, it was a dream, was that the banks around America had their roofs blown off, and there were Federal Reserve notes, which we call dollars, blowing through the streets of America as though they were leaves. Leaves blowing in the wind in the streets of America. And we kind of wonder, does that mean that the U.S. dollars will soon have the same value as leaves? Well, it seems too hard for us to believe that that could even happen, because we have grown up with dollars having good value. But it is becoming more and more recognized among people and among government people and among the financial people that the U.S. dollar is having huge problems. It's just becoming widely understood among the people in America that the dollar is in trouble. And just a couple days ago, I had a conversation with a family member about a government retirement or pensions. And they were saying how they had a government job and they were going to get 3/4 of their salary when they retired. And I thought, this is so generous that I don't know how we are going to be able to afford it. It's just not sustainable for our country. And so we talked some more, and we agreed that the most likely outcome would be big inflation. Because with big inflation, they could say that they fulfilled their promises, but the money, when it was worth less and less, would be able to be paid out. So it's a question of what our future holds for one reason or another. We do try to figure out what will happen. Oh, and she said that if that were to happen, that our money were to become worth less and less, there would be a revolution in the country. That's what she said. And we all know that this is a real possibility, and we kind of entertain what could really happen. And we know that people would be angry if their money became worth less and less and less. It already seems like we are losing a quarter of our value of what we can purchase. What if we lost another quarter of the value of what we could purchase? What if we lost half again its value? And at the speed of which our money is losing its value, why, we could see things happen this year. And that makes me think of what the FBI Director Wray said, that there are blinking red lights going off all over this country. And I think it's a good indicator that we could see trouble coming for different reasons. I think another factor in how there could be blinking red lights going off is how there are millions of undocumented people, migrants, coming into the United States. Now, everybody has a different amount of people that are coming across our border, especially our southern border. I think the official number is between 7 and 10 million have crossed into the United States. But there are people who have widely said this could be double or triple that number. And just a few days ago, there was a Border Patrol person, officer, who said that his estimates were that 40 to 50 million migrants had come into the United States. And now that would be more and more notable for the effect that it would have on everyone in the United States. I do find it interesting that if that is the number, it would make it more than 10% of our current population. And it makes me think that, well, this has been a widely known number, that if a revolution in a country were to be successful, they would have to have 5% of the people who were strongly for the revolution. And so when I think of all the migrants coming into this country who do not have a history and tradition of a free America, it makes me wonder if these recent migrants might be a danger to the freedom that we have in America. Could they be unhappy? Oh, well, we already know many people are unhappy. Many migrants are unhappy. And many migrants are violent from these last millions that have crossed our border. It's something that we learn more and more about, but it represents a larger portion of our population than we are recognizing. And it is seemingly that this has been an intentional action to bring migrants across our border. And we don't exactly know why. Nobody admits to why. They say it's the common answer is to have voters vote for the present government, but it seems to be more than just that one reason. Now, about migrants, I hear the stories, and you can hear them too if you just look them up. that they have a debit card that has been given to them by one agency or another. Often it is a United Nations agency. And these debit cards they have money put on them every month for the migrants to spend. And we have noted before that the average Social Security check in America is $1,400 a month. And some estimates are that the migrants are getting $2,200 a month on their debit cards. Where does that come from? Much of it comes from the U.S. government when it gives money to the United Nations. Much of it comes from programs of this and that. And however you want to consider it, there are a lot of monies going towards migrants. And we ask, is this sustainable, or will it have to end one day? And when it ends, do you think there will be people upset because what they expect is no longer being given to them? Well, question upon question, and we have to be prepared for what happens if we as a people, as a government, can no longer afford to do this or that, whether it's benefits to the retired people, the out-of-work people, the migrant people, the military people, or the military-industrial society. What will happen if the government no longer has enough money to fund all these programs? And you know, it's very likely that there would be chaos, unhappiness, and even violence. So we have to look at the possibilities of what would happen and how we can stay secure in the midst of whatever might be coming to our country. And that's where we have an understanding of the patterns. It's not that we have knowledge, but we have our intellect to examine the stutters, the patterns, whether it's the things that have gone on in countries all around the world, or whether it is the programs, the theories that happen with a deteriorating society. Well, somehow we can look at all this with our mind and try to figure out what it would be wise for us to do. And I think the biggest thing is to have some provisions of what our basic needs are. We do have things coming up that are making more questions, and that includes the restrictions that would come if the bird flu pandemic does become a reality. Now, I remember bird flu from 20, 25 years ago when it was said it was going to devastate society. It was going to devastate our country, our culture, the whole Western civilization. But it didn't come 25 years ago. It is only happening right now as the bird flu is seeming to transfer between animal and human. And we do have to, well, anyway, I'm suspicious about who says it is transferring. Do the scientists really know? Are they government scientists? Or are they scientists that really have no concern in what the science says? Well, if they're getting government money, they're probably going to have a government theory. And it's something that we all need to be careful about who says what. And are we going to simply comply with it? Are we all going to get another few vaccinations so that we stay safe from the bird flu or the coronavirus, which turned out to be different from what was said? So I hope you look things up, search it out, and I know there's search engines out there, several of them. And one of the problems with search engines is they tell you more information about what you have already looked up. So you think, oh, everybody is looking at that question, because the, let's just call it a search net, an internet search engine, tells you more and more about what you are looking up. Instead of getting new information, you get fed more and more of the same information that could be false. So we have to be careful about the information we get. There's also been the search engines have been given federal money for, well, that's the trouble. We don't exactly know exactly what it's for, but we are suspicious when hundreds of thousands of dollars or more go to these search engines. And it shows that we must be considerate and careful for wherever we are getting the information. Remember, our best source of information is the Bible, because God knows everything, and we can search out the Bible for that kind of information, and it tells us about the troubles going on even today. It tells us about inflation. It tells us about famine and shortages. It tells us about pride and other human behavior that will bring trouble. So we can learn a great deal by reading the Bible carefully. That's something we can all do as we acknowledge what is going on around us in the world with the powers that be, with the government, with the money being here and there. We all want to recognize what the Bible is teaching us so that we can learn. We learn from what is obviously in front of us as we search for the truth and study the Bible. For the Bible, never forget, the main lesson of the Bible is that Jesus paid the price for our sin when we accept his payment and are born again and repent from our sin. I mean, that's a part of the Bible's teaching right there. So remember those important parts of the Bible, that yes, our salvation is a gift from God, Jesus, but there are a few things for us to do. Repent, be born again, and then know that our eternal future is in heaven with Jesus. How glorious! Let us do what we can to understand and obey what the Bible tells us to do. Well, it helps to read the Bible, even if you're going to read only the New Testament. Now, the New Testament is not that many pages, what, 250, maybe 300 pages? And we all have read 300-page books, so I know that every one of us can experience the New Testament of the Bible if we just read it. It's well worthwhile to read and seek to understand. If you don't like to read that much, you can always listen to it on tape, on CD, and that's a good way to do it also. Well, God bless you as you listen to the Bible and how you pray, or even pray and fast and ask for understanding of God's amazing word. Amen. Well, we look around and we see things. The Bible can explain the battle between God and Satan, or call it good and evil, and there are reasons for all of it, and as we are aware of the good and evil, we seek out the good in this life, which is the best. The best good is Jesus. So you just keep looking for the best good that you can. We see things going on around us. We see there are troubles and there is everything. And so we want to have our orientation be towards good and Jesus. In these days when there is so much going on, there is much trouble everywhere. In the countries of the world, there are troubles, there is injustice, and that helps us to look forward to the justice of God in heaven. But we, as we search for meaning and understanding, it does remind me of an old European saying, which is, that we search for understanding and we understand too late, and that life is over too soon. I know there's a different way. I'll have to think of what it actually says. But it's something that we all want to use the days that we have, the years that we have, to search out truth and love, which is God. I know what the saying is. It's too soon old and too late wise. And we understand this as we search for wisdom in the Bible. Too soon old, too late wise. Well, we want to apply what we know and be faithful to God with the goodness of God in the world. So learn the Bible principles as you study. The Bible is a very good book, and we learn more and more as we study more and more. We get a fuller understanding, especially as we pray about the things that we read. You can ask God to give you more understanding of God's Word. And He does. He answers in a way that is maybe not what you expect, but you will find that your understanding grows if you ask God for more understanding. There are many things we do today that the Bible tells us to do, and there are many things we do that the Bible tells us not to do. And we can learn. We can learn. For instance, in Deuteronomy 15, it says we are not to borrow money. Let's think. It says that we will lend and not borrow. So that is wisdom, and we can learn that wisdom on every level. We can learn it for our individual money, for the companies that we work with. We can learn that with the government principles that go on. And wouldn't we be better off if we had lent money and not borrowed money? Instead, we have millions and millions of dollars that we pay in interest on our national debt. So the Bible tells us principles, and we would do better off if we listened to those Bible principles. I know I listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio sometime, and he tells us what the Bible principles are and how we can apply them in life. And many people call into his radio station, his radio broadcast, and ask for advice about how they can get out of debt. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our country was out of debt? Well, that's a part of the problems that we are going to face. We are going to face a reality where we do not have enough money because we have overspent and borrowed. Our Congress has. Our government has. And somehow, we can't vote those people out of office. And there's a question of if our vote actually even counts. Well, that's one that we all get to figure out. Is our vote now altered? It sure seems to be. And so how are we going to get our government back? I think we have to go back to the principles of the founding fathers of America. And probably the most important one is that we are a Christian society. So, are you ready to become Christian if you are not? Would that be an answer to following God's word and God's plan so that we did not have, the troubles that we have all over the place right now? The troubles internationally, the troubles domestically. Are you willing to learn a new good and godly principle and apply it to your life? Well, God will help us to understand that. I think that prayer and fasting does an amazing amount of good as we ask God to help us to do His will. That's what we do. We can live without having debt, just as many of the early Christians did. Well, that reminds me of a story about, it's kind of about the corruption in our government and what happens when people spend the people's money, the taxpayers' money, irresponsibly. And what happens is it causes decay. It causes our government to become immoral. And we are already having enough money problems in America. Right now, you can look at the difficulties going on, and the employment numbers are falling down to the levels that they were in 2008 after that problem. The 2008 problem, and we are coming back to more problems in the economy of America. Well, America used to follow biblical principles, but for the last, 100 years? No, more. 120 years, there have been problems, and we have not followed the constitutional or the godly plan for the principles that we follow. And that reminds me of the story of the original banker, the original international banker, Mayer Amstel Rothschild, who said, "Give me control of a nation's money supply, and I will not care who makes the laws." And as you know, when we have made compromises with our laws because of who we owe money to or can get money from as a country. Now that reminds me of a story of the trouble that America can get into from about 1820. In about 1820, our government needed to borrow money from the international bankers because there had been previous to that, like in the 20 or 30 years, the United States was recovering from a war that was the Revolutionary War. And there were other big expenses that the United States had. And so the United States decided to print continental dollars. And the continental dollar was not backed by any precious metal, and it kept losing value and losing value. And then there got to be the expression of the money was not worth a continental, because the merchants would accept the continental dollars, but they would only give you 10 or 20 cents of value on that dollar. So it became well known that the continental dollar was worthless. And the English banks at that time, in 1820, decided to buy up all those continental dollars for 10 or maybe a little more, 10 cents on the dollar. And then what happened in the, I think it was 1827, the U.S. government needed more money to finance the expenses that it was having with its industrial revolution, its industrial infrastructure that needed to happen to keep business going. Well, the British were the international bankers, and they said they would loan America money, but that America would have to redeem all the continental dollars that the British banks held for their full value. So the bankers in England bought the continental dollars for 10 or 15 cents, but the U.S. government had to pay $1 in order to get the loan. And that's what happened. The U.S. government paid a full price for the continental dollars, and the American government got their loan from the international money people. So it's a matter of how we, or countries, or people, or companies, get pressured to do whatever the bankers want. And the bankers traditionally have had a dislike because of the advantage they took of people and companies and countries. So that was another thing going on at the time. Well, let's see what else. Nowadays, we see the crisis going on with the international community and the banking community, and we are trying to figure out just what will go on, because we have a government spending out of control, and the International Monetary Fund is saying that the United States needs to control its spending. When we print too much money and have too much spending, our money becomes worthless. Less and less, the money becomes worth less and less. And we have had examples of what happens to countries that overspend. Whether it was the Weimar Republic in the 1920s, or Austria in the 1940s, or Zimbabwean government in the last 20 years. And Argentina has had huge inflation also. The world has seen unstable money that has become worth less and less. And now we're dealing with that in our very own country, the United States of America. How would we deal with inflation? I mean, 20% inflation. Now, some people say it's already 20%. And the government says, oh no, it's half that. Well, whatever it is, our money is declining in its value and what it will buy. As we are seeing prices increase, we are having stagflation, and that's just what it's called. When the money value goes down and the prices increase, people are having a hard time being able to afford what they either need or are used to having. This is making our economy have difficulties all over the place. The stores are not earning as much. The stores cannot afford to have as much goods on the shelf. The stores are not making a profit. The businesses cannot either stay in business. So many businesses especially restaurants, are going out of business this year. And that means less taxes. And less taxes means the government cannot borrow as much money. So it's all just heading to a point of collapse, and people will get angry, both the regular American citizens and the recent migrants that have come into the country by the millions. There's a lot of unhappiness, a lot of violence when people become unhappy. There is theft and cheating going on at every level. Many people are saying the stupid Americans, and they're angry at Americans. That's a part of why the dollar is collapsing, because countries are leaving the dollar. People want their money in something other than dollars. And it's getting to be a problem with all the people that are coming into the country also. The prices are rising, and we the politicians, are making it so that a crash could occur very quickly and easily. Our Strategic Petroleum Reserve has been sold off to the highest bidders, and now our East Coast gasoline of about 1 million gallons has been auctioned off also. It's been sold. United States is having an economy where there is no extra. We are just getting by, from the people who buy groceries to the government that needs to do this or that. Our country is in trouble, and bad decisions are being made, like that East Coast gasoline reserve was put into place in case there was another pipeline shutdown. There was no source of gasoline after the Continental Pipeline shut down. So if the gas supplies run out, there is no extra. And the government people, current administration, said that the gasoline was sold off to hold the price of gas down. And yes, it reduced the price by about 5 cents a gallon. But it sure does not mean that we would have a good future if gasoline supplies and deliveries would be cut off from the East Coast. There are stupid decisions being made, and it is almost as though there is a plan to have troubles in the USA. And there are people and organizations that want the United States to fall, to become a weak country. And that's what we are heading towards. We're heading towards a movement that is going on many levels, where, well, I think of the Chinese, who just sold off $53 billion of U.S. debt, our U.S. treasuries that they have bought. It means that they now have no more reserve of U.S. dollars. And, of course, they don't need U.S. dollars anymore, because they're not trading with United States companies that require U.S. dollars to make the transaction. It is a matter of deterioration that is going on around the world, and the USA is deteriorating economically, morally, culturally, all of that. While the countries around us are, especially Russia and China, are considering the United States a threat, and there are missiles that are threatening U.S. interests. Oh, yeah, in Ukraine, Russia has has redistributed its small nuclear weapons, and the Russia still has its intercontinental ballistic missiles pointed at the USA. And by the way, so does China and North Korea. Now, probably nothing will happen, but you never know when an unstable dictator or government will get into power in one of those countries. We have to realize how it could be a really good idea for every person in the United States to have supplies for if there ever does get to be a crisis, if there ever does get to be a war. And we know the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, of famine, of pestilence coming to the earth. Does that mean it's going to happen soon? Well, it could be, and it might not be either. But I hear more and more people talking about events happening in November of 2024. Well, there's no guarantee that anything will happen. God didn't give a date, but he did say there would be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, and pestilence. So what should we have on hand for the just in case? Should we have anything on hand? Well, what if there's a natural disaster? What if there's a big snowstorm? What if there's an earthquake that cuts off water and electricity to your home? It's a matter of what is prudent to do, knowing the history of humanity, of mankind. Do troubles happen? Oh, yes, they do. Now, we can be just fine in our spirit and have our relation with Jesus Christ and be born again, and everything is fine eternally. But we might want to have a little supplies so that we can live to preach the good news of the gospel in case our food supply, our gas supply, and electricity is cut off, either by natural means like a coronal mass ejection from the sun, or if it's a event caused by mankind, like a nuclear war. We could find ourselves completely without anything that we can buy from the store, a gas station or a grocery store, or a hardware store. These things can happen, and they in fact have happened in one way or another in the past. Earthquakes, we could have them still. There is threats of East Coast earthquakes. The New Madrid earthquake is another one. There is the Cascadia subduction zone on the West Coast. And I just think about that one because I think of the Loma Prieta earthquake that I was in that shook for less than 20 seconds. And the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake would shake for about 5 minutes. So we can only imagine what kind of trouble, disruption, serious problems that would cause. And then there would be no more truck deliveries for a few months. There would be no more electricity for a few months. And it's a matter that we all want to have a few preparedness items. Water, food, and warmth. Other supplies are good to have too. And we all have a different choice of what they are. A lot of people want batteries. A lot of people want a phone. But if there is that kind of a disruption, our phones are going to be useless. They won't work. So consider all the things you might want, and always know that the most important thing is to have your born-again relation with Jesus Christ. It is good to be a faithful servant to our Lord God, Jesus Christ. That reminds me of Matthew 25:23, where it talks about him, Jesus saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's something we all want to have said to us when we meet Jesus. We don't know quite where we are in the time of God's judgment or what happens on earth. We could be in the time when there's the horsemen of Revelation coming about, or we could be on the edge of the rapture, or we could be on the edge of a great Christian persecution or a great Christian revival. The point is we are a time when anything can happen. And when you look at what has happened in recent years, you know things can be serious. And whatever comes, we want to have our relation with Jesus Christ strong. So God bless you. And if you'd like to listen to any past broadcast, go to www.christtoday.org. Thank you for today. God bless you.